Hey folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Heavenly Father, it's really good to be in your house. It's good to be in this place, and Father, Lord, we just thank you, dear God. You've asked us to be workers, Lord, for you. And Lord, Father, your load is easy, and your burden's light. It's not hard work. Lord, it's just being what you asked us to be. Lord, being in the places you want us to be. And Lord, trying to tell somebody somehow, some way of what you have done in our lives. And Lord, help us to do that. Thank you, Lord God, for the Bible. We ask, Lord God, that you would open our eyes and our hearts to it tonight. Lord, that you'd prepare us, Lord, for the lesson. Prepare us for great and mighty things that you want to show us. And Lord, Father, I pray, dear God, that you'd be with Wayne tonight and give him grace. And Lord, Father, it's going to be a while to heal. And Lord, Father, we just ask God that you'd just bring healing to him. And Father, Lord, for those here tonight that have needs, one thing or another. And Lord, Father, they just come into this place. This is your house. It's a house of prayer. You said we could pray. Lord, Father, you ask us to pray. You command us to pray. And Lord, we're praying. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus, the mediator, Lord, so that, Lord, Father, all things that we ask and all the petitions, Lord, they are heard. So, Father, Lord, we just ask God that you would hear us tonight. Father, Lord, just bless the teaching and preaching of your word. Bless this church and, Lord, Father, the ministry that we have. And, Lord, help us to love people. Help us to care about their souls and to see people saved. And Father, we just ask God, Lord, that you'd help us to stand on the word of God. Lord, until you come and take us home. Father, we love you. We thank you for this old book. And we thank you, Lord, for this meeting tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Read something on the internet this afternoon. Take your Bible, if you would, turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. And I read something on the internet just for the service tonight. And then Gary handed me this. And that since 9/11... September 11th, 2001, the amount of Muslim mosques in America has doubled in 10 years. 10 years since 9/11, we've actually increased the number of Muslim mosques that we had in this country in the last 10 years. We see one municipality after another that is giving in to Sharia law. I don't know if you know what that is. Sharia law is the divine law that most or practically all Muslims live by. If you look at video from Iran or any of these predominantly Muslim countries and you see women wearing a head covering, no matter where they are and what they're doing, that's Sharia law. Okay? Sharia law makes certain demands and certain dictates upon the entire community. And we're seeing one community after another in this country that is turning themselves over to Sharia law. One judge I read today recently made his decision in a court in America based upon Muslim law. That was the basis of his decision. And I was sharing with Gary today some of the things that I had studied years ago, and I'm kind of going back over it again in preparation for, I don't know, maybe a video I'm going to do or something like that, but it was on America's founding. And who in here has ever heard of the Ye Old Satan Deluder Law? Who in here has ever heard of that? Ye Old Satan Deluder Law. Anybody? Anybody ever heard of that from your history books in high school, junior high school, middle school? In your study of the Pilgrims, you ever heard of Ye Old Satan Deluder Law? In the 1640s, I think it was 1647, The colony of Connecticut. Connecticut's called the Constitution State because the Constitution that we have in America was designed after the Constitution of the colony of Connecticut. And in 1647, Connecticut put as one of their laws, they passed a law called Ye Old Satan Deluder Law. And here's how it went. Any settlement in the colony of Connecticut that had more than 10 families, okay, 10 families in one area, if there was 10 or more, any settlement, any area that had more than 10 families, it was the law that this settlement build and run a schoolhouse. Specifically, and it actually said this in the law, specifically to teach those children to read and to write, but primarily to teach them how to read Scripture. They said, and it's actually said this in the law. You look it up, ye old Satan deluder law. It actually said in the law that we learned from being over in Europe that when men are not acquainted with the liberties given to us from the Scriptures, governments will take those liberties away. When children do not know the Bible, Satan will delude them. He will lie to them, and tyrannical governments will impose laws upon them not meant to make them free. And so the very first law in this land establishing a public schoolhouse was designed specifically to teach children how to read the Bible. That was 300 some odd, nearly 400 years ago. We've come a long way, baby. Amen? Yeah. You know what? And you know, I remember first time I read this, Jeremy, I mean, this was years ago. I wept and I'm going, I want to live in a country like that. That's where I want to live. Okay. Now, I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. I like to preach about the past, but I look to the future. If I didn't believe that what lies ahead of us is better than what's behind us, I wouldn't have anything to talk about. Wouldn't have anything to preach. I wouldn't have any reason to live. I'd eat, drink, and be merry, for we all may die. Amen? This is the extent that our country's got into. We put out, this church put out a video this week called The Biblical Case Against Rick Warren. It's had probably close to 3,000 views in different places in 3 days. And since we've done that, this story's come out. Article in the Orange County Register reports that Rick Warren, the man dubbed America's pastor, has launched a new program called The King's Way, the purpose of which is to promote peace and unity between Muslims and Christians. He wants to build a bridge, Lori, between Muslims and Christians, because Warren says that we all worship the same God anyway. Amen. No. We don't. We don't. It's not the same one. You know how I know? My God has a son. My God has a son. And Muslims say that's an abomination. That's why, that's one of the reasons why they hate Christianity, is that we teach that God had a son. And they said, there's no way, no how. God never had no son. Okay? So let's examine that tonight from the Scriptures, all right? He is America's pastor. One of the things that I dug up in researching this video was that he in his seminars has trained over 200,000 pastors and church leaders. 200,000 pastors and church leaders he has trained into his ways. And I'm hearing from people all over the country, in fact, in other places of the world, I'm hearing that when people try to approach their pastor with this Rick Warren thing, they say, you know what, you're wanting to do this Rick Warren thing, we don't think that's a good idea. They're asked to leave. They're asked to leave their own church when they go up against Rick Warren and his ways. This is the way the church is going. I'm not going. Amen? I believe that God had a son. Do you believe the Bible tonight? Say amen. The epistle of Paul, the apostle to the Hebrews. When I was in Bible college, they said that really they wasn't sure who wrote Hebrews. And I'm going, well, I've read it. It looks like Paul, sounds like Paul, talks like Paul. It looks like everything that Paul knew. And I think it was Paul. Amen? And whoever printed my Bible up, Must have thought it was Paul because they said the epistle of Paul the apostle to the Hebrews. They based that upon the fact that if you turn back one page to the book of Philemon, you have Paul's signature there. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Normally in every letter that Paul writes, he put his name in there. Paul the apostle, Paul the apostle, Paul an apostle, Paul called to be an apostle. In this one, he just didn't happen to put his name. But everything in this letter, in 13 chapters here, tells us that it was the Apostle Paul, and I believe that he wrote this. Okay, I believe that he wrote this. So anyway, this is coming from our apostle. And I call him our apostle because he was the apostle to the Gentiles. Okay, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. But notice that in this case here, who's he writing to? He's writing to the Hebrews. Now, I was warned a few years ago because I started doing the Pure Bible study. And when I started doing this study, I was in the book of 1 Peter. And I was warned by somebody that they were trying to tell me, don't do any more of that study on 1 Peter because it's not for us as Gentiles. Because Peter was the apostle to the Jews. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And so they said, it's really not for us. And I'm going, it's in my Bible. Amen. If it's in my Bible, who's it for? It's for me. Somehow, some way, there's things in here that apply to me. Well, Paul, who wrote this, evidently crossed over and he wrote it. He was the apostle to the Gentiles, but he's writing it now to the Hebrews. Why? They may not have listened to him almost 2,000 years ago, but something tells me I think they're going to listen to him one day real soon. I think some Hebrews all over the world are going to open up this Goyim Bible, this Gentile New Testament, and they're going to find out who the one behind the veil on Mount Sinai was. Somebody say amen. They're going to find out who Samson was. They're going to find out who Moses was. They're going to find out who David was. They're going to find out who David's son was. They're going to find out all of these things, and Paul is going to help them out by teaching them the doctrine, because no one was better qualified to teach Hebrew law than the Apostle Paul was. He was a lawyer among lawyers. Amen. He knew it front and back. And so when you read and study Hebrews, that's what you're getting out of. And I love Hebrews. I love it. I could spend years just studying the book of Hebrews. It's just a fascinating book. But it's interesting, and I really hadn't thought about going this direction. But in this old Bible here that I got, and I know you're not supposed to always trust the notes that are on the side, okay? So Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Now, I have a note up here written by, you know, whoever, I guess Thompson, whoever put this together. It's a chain reference Bible. This said the authorship, uncertain. Well, I'm pretty sure it was. Commonly attributed to Paul. Then it says, the key word of the book of Hebrews. And it has the word better in it. And I just kind of sat back and I was thinking, and I'm going, well, yeah, I think I'd agree with that. In fact, we're going to find it here in a little bit. So I looked it up, and I can't remember how many times you find the word better in the book of Hebrews, but it's in there several times. And I can tell you, Paul is trying to reach out to the Hebrews and tell them the law's good. God's got something better than that. Somebody say amen. So watch this now. Keep that in mind as we look at here, chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God. If you want to know who the real author of Hebrews is, he put his name right at the front. Amen. God, who at sundry times. Does anybody know what the word sundry means? You ever been to a sundries store? What does it have? It has a sundries store is a store that has assortments of different things. It's not just a shoe store. It's not just a clothing store. It has sundries in it. It has an assortment of, it's like a department store, like Walmart. Okay, Walmart is a sundry store. It has just about everything. God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, here again, I want you to think about this and think about what we're dealing with here. Think about how your Bible is rightly divided. Okay, here we have former times And we have latter times. We have former times in the Old Testament. We have latter times in the New Testament. We have the old. We have the new. We have that which was good. And when you read the book of Psalms, it's good to you. Somebody say amen. When you read Proverbs, it's good. When you read Genesis, it's good. But he's going to show you something now that's better. And so notice that he says, he spake in time past, that is the Old Testament, unto the fathers by the prophets. You have Moses the prophet. You have David who prophesied. You have Elijah. You have Hosea and Jeremiah. You even have Enoch in the book of Genesis who is prophesying. You have all of these prophets of the Old Testament, and they're foretelling of something, and they're giving the law. So that's how God said that he used to speak back then. Now, he says now in verse 2, hath in these last days, notice the difference. Former times, Old Testament, last days, New Testament. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son and his prophet, Joseph Smith. Doesn't say that, does it, Bradley? Does not there. God is, in fact, and you'll not find anywhere in Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, where God said he's spoken to former times by the prophets. He's spoken to us in these times by his son. Then he came along. He's going to speak by somebody else. You're not going to find it in here. There's no reference anywhere, an indication anywhere in the scripture that once the book of Revelation is closed, that God has another revelation after that. In fact, he specifically mentions in the book of Revelation, this is it, right? This is the end of the book. It's the last chapter and the last verse, and it's all done. And if anybody comes along and adds anything after this, he's accursed. I'm going to take his name out of the book, and I'm going to add to him the plagues that are written in the book of Revelation. Joseph Smith was warned not to do what he did. Amen? Charles Taze Russell was warned not to do what he did. The Pope was warned not to do what he did. These latter-day prophets running around, oh, God's telling me this, oh, God's telling me that. They were warned not to do what, not to add to the Word of God. And yet, that's exactly what they've done. Okay? You don't have something good and then have something better and then have something better than that. Okay? This is better right here. So he said, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son. And by the way, when you see the word son here, okay, it's okay for you to think Word of God. You see what I'm getting at? It's okay for you to think Bible. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Bible. Where is the Bible at right now? Where's the book that God wrote? Where is it at right now? It's in the right hand of the Father. Where's Jesus at right now? It's in the right hand of the Father. They're both in the exact... In fact, you're going to see that in chapter 1 here. He's all the time talking about he's at his right hand. He's at his right hand. He's at his right hand. And he's telling you, if you want to hear from Jesus, read it from the book. Can I get an amen out of somebody? Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. The newer translations say through whom he made the worlds. That is Jehovah's Witness doctrine. Let me explain it to you in Brady's absence tonight. Brady had the end of the month thing in McDonald's, okay? So he couldn't be here. But Brady would tell you that Jehovah's Witness doctrine teaches that... That God, no way, no how, could have created this world. Because God has to be totally separate from material things. So God had put in a series of what he called demigods. Levels of God. He created one God, who then created a lesser God, who created a lesser one, who created a lesser one. And by the time they got down here, finally this lesser one created Jesus, who then could go ahead and create the world. So God, through Jesus, created the world. But that's not what this Bible says. Amen? This Bible says, by whom also he made the worlds. How did God do this? God spoke, let us make man in our image. And God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be a firmament. And God said, let there be waters. And God said this. That's how he created everything. He created them by his word. And that word is Jesus Christ, and it's the Bible. Now verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory. By the way, let me get back to this demigod thing. That doctrine essentially says that Jesus is not and cannot be God. He cannot be God. Okay? That's what that says. So the Jehovah's Witness deny the divinity of Jesus Christ. Any Bible that in this case says he made the world through Jesus is denying, it's going along with that doctrine, and it's denying the divinity of Jesus Christ. By the way, I believe that he's God. I believe that he's God. And I believe that God is Father. Am I right so far? And Word. Am I right so far? And Holy Ghost. Did I get it right? Okay. I was studying that this week. There is a there's a one of these false teachers out there, one of these prophecy experts, and he is trying to hide the fact, Jeremy, of what his denominational affiliation is. He's pretty big out there in a lot of prophecy circles, but he's hiding the fact of what denomination he is. The denominational affiliation he is United Pentecostal. United Pentecostals refuse the doctrine of the Godhead, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. They refuse, huh? It's just Jesus. Jesus only, okay? They're called Oneness Pentecostal or this and that and the other. And somebody had brought his name up, and I was just kind of doing a little research. And listen, here it is now. Here's someone who is denying. I went to this website, and this guy wrote this big old long discourse on the idea that the Godhead is a pagan concept, Jim. It's paganism, okay? Three gods you believe in. And I get down, I know what I'm looking for. I'm looking for 1 John 5:7. And so in this long discourse, you get down to it. And he mentions 1 John 5:7 as being a disreputable verse that probably does not even belong in the Bible. That's how you do it. You invent a doctrine, and if the Bible contradicts that doctrine, you either have that verse removed or you have it diluted somehow, some way you have it diluted. So now your doctrine can exist alongside the scriptures. You see how it works? Be careful, people. Be careful. So anyway, but he's God. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory. Does anybody know what the name Lucifer means? Lucifer. What does it mean, Jeremy? Light bearer. Okay? You get a free DVD of your choice. Okay? And a coffee cup if you want. Okay? Okay? It means light bearer. Okay? Lucifer does not possess his own light. He only reflects it. Think of the sun and the moon. Okay? The sun contains its own light. Jesus is referred in Malachi as the Son, capital S-U-N, of righteousness arising with healing in his wings. He is the greater light that rules over the day. The devil then would be the lesser light. He's the over darkness, and he's the lesser light. He does not have his own light. He merely reflects the light. And it's interesting, when you know what they found, and somebody wrote me today, they said, Pastor Hoggard, please stop teaching that we went to the moon. Everybody knows we didn't. Okay. Well, I think we did. Okay. And I mean, I'm a conspiracy guy, but I'm not that far with it. Okay. I think we did. Here's what they found out. You know why the moon is so reflective? That dust that's on there, it's glass. It's glass dust. And that's why it shines the way it does. God made a gigantic mirror up in heaven. Okay. Lucifer bears the light, but he doesn't have his own light. Now, Bradley would come to you about 6-7 years ago and tell you that Jesus and Lucifer used to be brothers, man. Right? I'm picking on him, okay? Jesus and Lucifer used to be brothers, okay? Mormon doctrine teaches there was a council in heaven. It's all sitting around a table. Coffee cups, okay? And they were going to pick a savior over the earth. And Lucifer said, "Oh, pick me." And God, Elohim, with his wives, okay, said, "I think we'll let Jesus do this." Okay? And Lucifer got mad. He led a revolt in heaven. Okay? And there was a war in heaven. And Lucifer and all his angels were fighting against the other angels in heaven. Now, there was a group of angels in heaven that did not fight in this war. Remember this part? And so God cursed them for not picking sides by curling their hair, darkening their skin, making their lips big, and putting them on the earth. It's not in your book. That was the doctrine of the Mormon church. Okay? By the way, false doctrine will always be racist. Somehow, some way. It will always favor a race or lower one. The pure doctrines of the scripture say that all men can be saved. Okay? So anyway. But notice verse 3, how God is describing Jesus. That he being the bright, he is the brightness of his glory. He's not a reflection of that brightness. He is that brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Not just a mere reflection of that, the way Lucifer used to be. He is the image of God. Somebody say amen. This is why God said, don't build an idol that you call me. Don't do that. I already have an image and his name is Jesus. And upholding things by the word, there it is, by the word of his power. Oftentimes, when I'm getting a little discouraged, and it happens from time to time, I will ask God, "God, if you don't cause me to stand, I can't stand on my own." How many of you know that? Say amen. You can't stand on your own. And so when the Bible says that by the word of his power, he upholdeth all things, guess what's been holding you up all these years? It's not been your own self-will. It's not been your own inner strength. It's not been, as somebody called me and told me today, she's tired of hearing everybody tell her that she has to have positive thoughts and she'll be healed from all of her diseases. It's not your positive mental output that you're putting out that's holding you up. It is the word of power, which is Jesus Christ, that is holding you up. Somebody say amen. Upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, he didn't need Joseph Smith, amen? He didn't need the Virgin Mary, somebody say amen. He didn't need the apostles, he didn't need nobody else did what he did. Aaron and the entire priesthood could not purge the sins of mankind. It was impossible. By himself, purged our sins, sat down where? On the right hand of the majesty on high. Somebody say amen. Being made, look at this now, so much better. Look, there it is. Better. You see, God said, he spoke through angels in the Old Testament. He spoke through the prophets. He spoke through those people in the Old Testament. But Christ now is better than all of them. Amen? He's better than all of them. He's not like them. They were sort of like him. That I love to read the Old Testament books, and you can see the image of Christ in those books. You can see the image of Christ in Jeremiah, who was thrown into prison. You can see the image of Christ in Isaiah, who's 66 chapters. I love that. Amen? You see the image there. But only they are just a small image of the real Jesus Christ. And so he is being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. More excellent means better. He has a better name than they. Ask yourself the question, was Moses a good guy? Yes. Did he ever sin? Yes. Did Jeremiah ever sin? Yes, it's not recorded, but we know that he did. Did David ever sin? Yes. And yet God called David a man after his own heart. But only David, in few instances, was an image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the essence of typology. When you look at the type, you always discount the sin. This tells you that David is not the real Savior. He's not the real King of Israel that's going to reign on the throne. He's only a imperfect, impartial picture of the real David who's going to sit on the throne and reign over God's people. Can I hear you say amen? So watch this. He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. See, it's better already. For unto which of the angels said that? Now Paul's going to get into a whole list of scriptures that he's going to quote. He's going to quote one scripture after another out of the Old Testament. So he says, number one, unto which of the angels said he at any time? This is from Psalm 2. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. There's a difference. You know what? I just had a thought. If it didn't take too long, I'm going to have somebody run up and get my NIV Bible, but don't worry about it. No, don't. Don't worry about it. Stay. Gary, stay. Okay. I knew he would want to jump up. The NIV. John, let me tell you how the NIV says John 3:16. The King James says, for God so loved the world that he gave who? His only begotten son. The NIV and practically all new translations take the word begotten out and exchange it with one and only son. Now I have a huge problem with that. Jesus is not the only son. You and I, what was you quoting to me before church tonight? To them gave he power to become the sons of God. You see, if God only has one son, you and I do not get an inheritance. Okay? But see, even the Old Testament refers to the angels as sons. But here's the difference. Number one, I like the King James because it just happens to capitalize this son here. They see, you say, well, okay, but let me tell you this part. He was the only son. See, all of the other sons, including Lucifer. You see, the Old Testament teaches you that the sons, plural, of God were the angels. Okay? So in Genesis 6, you have the sons of God marrying the daughters of men, okay? So I'm just dealing with scripture here. God created them. How do we know? You look at Ezekiel when it talks about the anointed cherub that covereth. It specifically mentions, in the day that thou wast, he said, thou wert perfect in the day that thou wast created. And all of the angels in heaven, from Lucifer to Michael, to Gabriel, to all of the heavenly host, all of them were created except one. He was begotten. Now, I don't understand that. I don't understand how he was begotten. It is something that is, I believe that it's pictured for us in the concept of human conception and birthing. But I think the real aspect of that is bigger than any one of us can comprehend. But as I believe that Matthew was both conceived and begotten of me, so I believe that Jesus was begotten of the Father. Can I get an amen out of somebody? Now again, I don't understand it. That's bigger than what my brain can comprehend. But I believe it. And so listen to this now. He is the only begotten of the Father. In the new translations, they have removed that and they have now placed Jesus on a level with all of the other angels since he's not the begotten Son. And I would be real curious to see in the NIV whether they put, you know what, Gary, might as well, okay? Right. Oh, you have the NIV there?
Yeah.
What does it say in this verse, this day have I begotten thee? Does it use the word begotten there? In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. Okay? And I guarantee you some people out on the internet have already looked at that. They've already, and they're going, and they're trying to yell it to me, and I can't hear him. Okay? You have to yell really loud from Denmark, okay?
Hebrews 1, 5.
Yeah.
For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son? Today I have become your father. Or again,
that's all you got to say. Today I've become your father. That is not what this Bible says. Okay? Listen to me. I'm going to put another video out this week. I'm bound and determined to get this church into a lot of trouble. Okay? I'm just telling you. You guys want to stick with me? That's fine. But I can tell you where I'm going. Okay? I'm going down a path that a lot of people are going to hate. And it's inevitable. And I'm not trying to scare you. Okay? I'm just telling you, this is where I'm going. And when you start knocking on some people's doors, they're not going to like it. Okay? So I've got my notes ready. Tomorrow, the Lord has his way. I'm going to come in here. I'm going to record a thing about the new Bible translations and how they try to change the character and the nature of the Antichrist to conceal him. And they've done it. Who said go for it? I'm doing it. I'm going to do it. Okay? Because I want to tell you something. Churches are seated with the Word. Amen? Churches are seated. Pastors are getting up and they're giving out seed to people in people's hearings of the Word. If they're given incorruptible seed, amen? They'll be born again of that. If they're given corruptible seed, if they're given the corruptible seed that Jesus is not the begotten of the Father, that's corrupt. And it won't, I'm telling you, it's bad. We can already see the fruit of this corruption, can we not? We can already see the fruit of this corruption. And so anyway, verse 5 again, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, verse 6, when he bringeth in, look at this, pull that up there, Jim, on verse 6, Hebrews chapter 1 in the NIV. And again, when he bringeth in thee, who does it say? First begotten into the world. He saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And Lucifer said, over my dead body. Amen? Over, I will not worship him. Oh, yes, he will. Every knee shall bow. And I think Lucifer's got knees. Amen? What does it say there? It's not the same. It's not the same. They've removed it. Okay? You ought to get mad that they came in and changed all the Bibles. Amen? And let all the angels of God worship him. Angels are not supposed to receive worship, are they? No. John bows down in the book of Revelation. John bows down to an angel. And the angel says, get up. I'm as thee. You know, I think the angel was going, get up. You're going to get us both in hell. Don't do that. Okay? Jesus never one time refused anyone to worship him. Never. Never. Because you know why? Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's what the King James Bible says. One of the tenets of the Jehovah's Witness is that they've changed the New World Translation. Brady could probably quote it for you from memory. Huh? It's not. Okay, he thought it not robbery equal of God. They have diminished that, and I suspect that they've diminished that in the new translations as well. In fact, I know they have. I just can't remember how they put it. Okay, and so anyway, verse 7, and the angels, and of the angels, he saith, who maketh, he maketh, that's creation, his angel spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, He saith, thy throne, O who? God. He said it to his son. So God, the Father, is God, and the Son is God. Somebody say amen. I think we ought to be in agreement in this church. Amen. I believe that the Son is God. Amen. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. You know what I get out of that? I long for a politician who would sit in his office and do his duties as a politician, as a representative or a governor or a president or a judge, and do that in righteousness. Amen. Amen. Rather than on the basis of bribes and gives. And I don't remember which Bradley helped me remember this one. There's a sermon. I don't think I'm going to try to put it on Bible Truth Radio if it's not already. Reg Kelly preached about bribes and gifts. He preached a message about that, and it just dawned on me while he's preaching this that practically all politics and the decisions that lawmakers make is done so on the basis of either bribes or gifts. If the Democrats in Congress need some Republican votes to get a bill passed, you know what they're going to do? They're going to sit down with the Republicans that they know that they can work on and say, we'll put $4.5 million into your constituency in a road building or in Medicare or somehow, some way, we'll put money. There, it was notorious that the Obama administration paid off certain congressmen by telling, at least in one state, I don't remember what it was, one state in particular, Obama promised that the federal government would pay 100% of that state's Medicare bill in exchange for him signing off on that health care bill. That is a bribe. Pure and simple. And most politics is done that way. Okay, this is, but I would love to have a situation where we had politicians who didn't care about bribes, they didn't care about the faces of men, they didn't care about money, they were going to rule in righteousness. By the way, again, we have something to look forward to, don't we? The millennial reign of Christ. He's going to come down. We are going to come with him. Not the way we are now, Jim. Thank God for that. Okay? We're going to come down perfected in spirit. We're going to come down. We are going to rule and reign with Christ. And when you're a spirit, you don't care about money. You don't need to be fed. Amen? See, it'd be real easy to bribe me if I was a politician. You just say, you know, we give you McDonald's every day. Okay? Chinese food. I mean, it'd be real easy, okay? We won't need any of that. We will rule and reign with Christ in total righteousness for 1,000 years, is what the Bible says. This world is going to get its chance. Amen? That's how good God is. He is going to give this world its chance to have a government that is ruling in righteousness. Somebody say amen. In verse 9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness. How? Above thy fellows. Jesus, and by the way, I'll say this, Jesus is referred to in the scriptures as an angel, especially in the Old Testament. He was the Old Testament angel of the Lord. He was the angel, capital A, that God promised would lead Israel into the promised land once Moses was off the scene. God said, I will send mine angel leading them there. And the King James, that's a capital A. That was Jesus. By the way, the pillar of cloud was a picture of Jesus Christ. Behold, he cometh in the clouds. And so he was there, but he's characterized and pictorialized as an angel. But God has taken him. Number one, he's let him sit down on his right hand. No other angel got to sit down there. This is why Satan hates him so bad. Satan wanted that. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. And if you've ever seen a picture of the Ark of the Covenant, there are two cherubs that have their wings that are covering the throne of God. At one time, that was Lucifer covering the throne of God. He was the anointed cherub. But pride, you see, he coveted because you covet what you see. And he said, I got to sit on that throne. I want to be God. That's what he said. And here he found out the plan that God was going to anoint Jesus with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Whew. And Satan did get mad. Amen? And he said, I'll kill him. You know why he killed him? Jesus told us in the parable where they said, let's kill the son and then we'll get the inheritance. Then this inheritance will be ours. The throne will be. If we can kill the son, I can have the throne. They killed him. Didn't last. Amen? Didn't last. Verse 10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands, referring to Jesus. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. Think about this. When you think of things old, think of the Old Testament. Okay? The Bible talks about, later on in Hebrews, it talks about the Old Testament, how it's ready to vanish away. It's old. Things that get old. Get old. Who has old shoes? Old shoes. Full of holes. Amen? You should have retired them bad boys a long time ago, but they just feel so good. Okay? They all shall wax old as doth a garment. And I'll tell you this. You go out and live your life of sin. You know what you're going to find out? It gets old. It gets old. It just doesn't do what it used to do. It gets old like a garment. God's got a better garment. Amen. He's got a better garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. By the way, go look at the story. 2 Kings chapter 2. Go look at the story of Elijah and Elisha. You know what Elisha, when the mantle fell from Elijah, when Elijah was taken up to heaven, you know what Elisha did with that mantle, with that vesture, with that cloth? He folded it. He folded it. Look here. And as the vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be what? Changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. By the way, somebody, and I'm almost done here, somebody was trying to set me up one time with this doctrine that says Jesus was not always the Son. They asked me a question. Was Jesus always the Son? Now, my answer is, yeah. Okay? But you see, Gary, it was a setup question. They did it while I was doing the live broadcast. It was meant to set me up live on camera in front of hundreds of people to make me look foolish. Okay? They said, no, Jesus was not always the Son. That's heresy. You know how I know? Jesus Christ, that's okay, we love him. Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. There are three that bear record. The Father, who's always been the Father. The Son, he's always been the Son. The Word, that's what it says. And the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost's always been holy. Amen? Jesus never, look at here. Thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Okay? Verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? He didn't say that to Gabriel. He didn't say that to Michael. He did not say that to Lucifer. I think it's interesting that Gabriel, there are three named angels in the Bible. Gabriel and Michael. And both of them have God's name in them. Lucifer does not. You ever think about that? He does not have, the word El, the letters El, are the Hebrew root for God, Elohim. Okay? So Michael means who is like unto God. Gabriel means something God. Okay? I don't know what it means. Lucifer does not have God's name in his name. Okay? But he didn't say that to Lucifer, didn't say it to Gabriel, didn't say it to Michael, didn't say it to any of the other cherubs, nobody. Sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits? And this is what I like, and I'm going to leave you with this. Sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation. And by the way, they all are ministering spirits. Gabriel is a ministering spirit. Michael is a ministering spirit. Angels in general are ministering spirits, and Jesus is the chief of those. And if you just go through the scriptures, you'll find prophets in the Bible. Who's the chief prophet of the whole Bible? Jesus. You'll find apostles in the Bible. Who's the chief apostle of all the apostles? It's Jesus. You'll find bishops, the office of bishop. I have the office of bishop. But who is the chief bishop of everybody? It's Jesus. You have shepherds in the Bible. David was a shepherd, but who's the chief shepherd? Jesus. You have kings in the Bible. Who's the chief king? Who's the king of kings? Jesus. You have angels in the Bible, but who is the angel of the Lord? Jesus. There is no one, not any of the creation, is like Jesus. And angels that minister to us are good. If you've ever been in a situation where your life was literally in danger, I believe angels kept you alive. I believe they met. Amen? Amen? Amen. I believe the angels were in attendance to you. By the way, I think there were some other ones that wanted you dead. And there was a fighting going on. Okay? There'd be more for them, for our side, than there is on their side. Amen? That's how we know they win. Anyway, so they minister to us, and they keep us, and they protect us. But there is no other angel like Jesus. They're good. He's better. Amen? He's better than all of them. And He alone is to be worshipped. Let's worship the Lord tonight. We bow your heads. Okay? I want you to worship the Lord. How do I worship the Lord? It's God, thank you. Amen? God, thank you. Praise you, Lord, for what you've done. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, Lord, for Jesus Christ. Thank you, it wasn't Lucifer. Although in our minds it used to be. In our lives and our wicked ways, it used to be Lucifer. But I'm glad it's Jesus. I'm glad that He is your Son. I'm glad that He is God. I'm glad that He's sitting on the right hand, because when I pray, He's the mediator of that prayer. And when I failed you, He is the forgiver of that sin. He is the atoner, Lord, the propitiation for that sin. God, I just thank you, Lord, for everything that Jesus is, and that He is better than all the rest. This is why He's so hated in so many places. This is why He's being made equal to lesser beings all over the world. But there is none more supreme and more high than our Jesus. We thank you for that. Lord, remind us that He still ministers to us. We praise you in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.